before I introduce our main speaker today, because it's not me, it's Dwayne King, one of our missionaries, and he has had a very long, long-standing reputation and involvement here with Grace Point. I just want to remind you what we do here at Grace Point, what our goal is. We've said it in a number of different ways. Of course, we want to inspire you to follow Jesus, but our main goal here, unapologetically, is we want to create more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. And part of that today, you're going to see, you're going to hear a little bit from Dwayne, but a number of years ago, I got to meet the Cachardo family, and if you're online, you can't see them, they're sitting right here. And they'll come up here and later on, I think, still, right? But they've been a part of our church for a while, and God, it's fun to watch that God has called them in their life through a process to where they are no longer comfortable to stay where they're comfortable, I guess. Where you're ready to go off and be a part of this missions organization, to be a part of helping make more and better disciples, of leading people into a growing relationship in Jesus Christ. And part of that is through providing everything that needs to happen in this process of training missionary pilots. And that's what Dwayne's going to talk about. But the Cachardo family, we as a church, we want to support them. You'll hear more in the future about how we're going to do that. And of course, you can always support them with that. But Dwayne will talk. I'm probably saying too much. Dwayne, why don't I have you just come up right now? And would you guys give Dwayne just a warm welcome as he comes up? Thank you, sir.
Good, buddy.
All right.
Well, that's great to be back home. This is my home. And I see a lot of familiar faces, or some familiar faces here that, you know, have been here a long time. Like I've been gone a long time. But this is where it all started for me. And this process. The process is happening to you right now. You're thinking, you're getting insights, getting ideas, you're getting some perspective of missions, you're getting all of this is happening to us, no matter what. And so I'm thankful for this church, because my life, of what it has been the last 52 years, began here. And now my home church, where I was saved and grew up, was Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. But this is where I chased a girl. And she was a piano player. And so I chased her until I got her caught. And then I got caught. Because here in this church, as well as my church in across the way and others, I caught the vision and heard the call of God saying, go. That's what's happened to the Cachardo family and others from this church. So this process is going on because this church is faithful to keep the Great Commission, the vision of God for the nations of the world. He has His plan. And it goes. And it's from our verse that He gave us. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to every nation as a testimony. And then the end will come. Every word in there, every phrase in there has a very significant meaning and purpose. So, I praise the Lord for the experiences that came my way, because here, as this family will be, here, hands were laid on Carolyn and I and dedicated and commissioned us to go. to go. And I wouldn't take back a day of that call. And you, in a sense, figuratively, for many of you, but you are the ones who have prayed us, and supported us, and helped us in so many ways. I want to take a little break from this thought and ask, has anyone here ever been to a country or to a place in this country and given out these gifts of the shoe boxes? Has anyone ever, you saw those people carrying the boxes and handing the boxes out to the kids, the faces of those kids, the thrill of those kids getting those gifts? Well, I've been on the receiving end and on the personal handing end. It thrills your heart, liver, and gizzard. It thrills you to be a part of bringing the gospel. Now, in Karaganda, Kazakhstan, one of the places I've done this, and we then have the music come. We teach the kids the songs. We sing with joy in our hearts. And we present the plan of God for salvation. The Holy Spirit that was promised to us, Acts 1:8, about the Holy Spirit will come. And you disciples, you from Vestalno, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I am an uttermost missionary. Actually, I go to the uttermost, the corners of Siberia, Kazakhstan, Thailand, Burma, and I've seen these things happen. I'm also a missionary to the most utters. Pennsylvania. One of my friends milks 1,200 cows twice a day. A lot of utters. And that farmer came to Alaska. He went from the most utters to the uttermost. You getting it gradually? And this is only corn that Dwayne can think of. But it could be anywhere. And that guy that is from the most utters is my Sunday school teacher in Greencastle, Pennsylvania. But he came to the uttermost, Alaska. And so God may take you anywhere. So when we carried those boxes and gave them out and saw kids come to Jesus, I talked to the parents. Varuski Yezik in the Russian language. And they were living in Kazakhstan. And so we had this privilege of being part of our Kazakh team ministering in Kazakhstan to work with them and help them start churches. That's the way it goes. We need help. We need you. We need you to hear this call of God that says, maybe I could go. And when we look at this family with five kids coming to Alaska, where did they get this idea? Right here, from God's Word and missions being preached and taught in this church. So, this is the perspective of what you are in, of the idea that you are catching, and the vision that you are seeing, and the call that you receive. Be ready. Just say, why not me? Why can't I go? And there are opportunities all over. We are inviting you to come to Alaska with a construction team to help rebuild, remodel a house for them to live in. We didn't just automatically a house for seven people didn't just automatically happen. And so we need help to make this house so that they will come. And I'll be telling about their work and their call here in just a little bit. But we want to give you a little idea also about what they are going to do in their ministry and work. If you would start the slideshow. So it takes me back to 1971 in the village of Tok, Alaska. I knew that all about us were villages with no roads and no churches and no believers, or very, very few. God had given me the opportunity in 1968 and 69 to leave here, go to Alaska with Carolyn, and we were to begin our work and our ministry in the remote areas in the villages of Alaska. But I needed an airplane. No roads. 85% of the towns and villages and cities, even our capital. What's the capital of Alaska? Juneau. Juneau? Juneau. And so to get to some of these places, I needed an airplane. In the village of Tok, there was a little old Cessna 120 out behind the hangar, and the engine was froze up. That is, the bearings ran without oil, and they welded themselves to the crankshaft, and you could do chin-ups on the prop. And so I thought, here is a chance to get an airplane. I talked to the owner of it. He said he would sell it for $1,200, and I called Paul Blasco. He's right here. And this church got together, sent us the money, and I bought this airplane. It wouldn't run, so I pulled it by the tail down the Alaska Highway and into my front yard. And we were living in a trailer at that time, 1971. I pulled it up to that little corner, and I got a ready heater, master heater, and I started it up, and I put it on the front porch. And you can't see it in this picture too well, but there's a master heater, and it's blowing on my tools. And my tools are next to my leg. And so I could grab these warm tools and then work on the airplane. And take the engine out, take it in the house, put it on the freezer, and take some of the parts and put it on the washer, and I overhauled it and rebuilt that engine. And I'm putting it back together right there. And so that became the first airplane that I had provided by you. And then the next picture, I began to take it, put it on skis, and then flew to the lakes and the rivers and the villages to bring the gospel. Soon we needed it up in Eagle on the Yukon River. And our missionary there, also a pilot without an airplane, I gave him that airplane. After I trained him about flying in the bush and in the mountains and up the river and into Canada to the Klondike, to Dawson City. There we planted a church called the Gospel Hall of Dawson City. Next picture. And then I needed another airplane, and so you helped provide the instruments for another airplane to fly into Tetlin and some of the villages like Chicken. And we started the Chicken Friday Sunday School. And we started others because people were coming to the Lord because a missionary was able to go and land amongst them. And so on it went. And the next picture, to reach these people, the Athabascan Indian people. And so we had lots of villages of these people, and so we began to reach them. This particular native person became a pastor. Pastor Jim McKinley, trained at the Alaska Bible College. Next picture. But I needed another airplane, and so a bush pilot guide wrecked his Piper PA-20, and he called me up and he said, "Dwayne, I've got a gift for you. As is, where is, in the pucker brush," as they say in Maine, the pucker brush. And so I went up and I found this airplane in Eagle and hauled it home on a trailer. Next picture. This is before I recovered it. I welded two fuselages together and put a fabric covering on it, and then started using that. At Christmas time, I would play Santa Claus, and I'd dress up with a beard and a red suit, and I'd pack as many gifts as I could in the back of that Piper Paper Pacer, and I flew to the villages, jumped out, ho, 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 and gave out the gifts and the Bibles and the testimony. Use anything you can think of. Next. This all came from my years of flying into the villages along the Bering Coast. This is in the village of Wales, Cape Prince of Wales, the farthest western village in the continental United States. This night, the night before this, I had landed there, and in a storm, I thought the villagers would hear me and come and bring this family out so that I could fly them into Nome to a pastor's conference. They didn't hear me because of the wind. And then that I stayed out on the ice of the Bering Straits, strung out my high-frequency single-sideband antenna, was able to communicate with Kodiak, Alaska, a long ways away, and closed my flight plan and told them I'd spend the night starting the engine every couple of hours to warm it and to make it so that it would be able to start in the morning. Next. Kingdom Air Corps produces many missionary pilots doing the same thing. So now there's been hundreds of people that have been trained at Kingdom Air Corps in Chicoloon, Alaska, where they are moving. Those missionary pilots are trained to fly. We give them, like this summer, we trained 9 pilots, gave them ratings of private, instrument, commercial, and instructor. 900 hours of flight training by several different flight instructors like myself. And so this has produced other missionaries. It produced one of your missionaries, Joel King, who is now serving with this airplane in Arua, Africa. Next. It's produced national missionary pastors, church planters, like Kitikun Nichikabaibum. That's how you say his name. He is of the Karen people group of Burma. And Kitikun is a full-time missionary with the Free Burma Rangers. And our flight instructor, one of our flight instructors, Zach Loving there, and we are in Burma, we are in Thailand there. This airplane was given in Concord, New Hampshire. I went up there to pick it up, fix it good enough to fly, pick it up, get a ferry permit, take it to South Carolina, and rebuild it all winter. Overhaul the engine, do modifications, put radios in it, and then put it in a container and ship it to Thailand. So this is what we've done with four airplanes. Now all of those airplanes are flown by national pilots. Five Russians and two Burmese brothers. And our efforts to do this continue. Airplanes have continued to be given. Does anybody know of an airplane that needs to be given to Kingdom Air Corps? It's in somebody's garage, your grandfather's, or airplane parts, or parts and pieces. I have a trailer, and I'll pick them up. Anyway, this is how we get airplanes. You saw it. All these parts and pieces of the these airplanes we put together and fixed them, and now they're serving the Lord in many different parts of the world. Next. And we go over there, we put them together. Sometimes we make runways, build hangars. We're now building a big house for two missionary, full-time missionary pilots and instructors in Khabarovsk, Far East Russia. That's going on right now. Next. Kostya Rudoy and his son Alexander and wife Galina. He has been here. He has preached from this pulpit. And they are serving full-time in Far East Russia, planting a church in the little village where we built a runway and we built hangars. And people like you came. There's opportunity for you to go and do the Lord's work and help us to do construction, mechanic work, administrative work. Your missionary is coming to do administrative work to help me organize and shepherd 13 missionary families. I really need your missionary. And he's coming. And so praise the Lord. Support is coming in. Encouragement. We have plans for them to be there this summer in June. So be in prayer about them. Next. Sometimes I've had to take airplanes to the uttermost parts of Siberia. This is Siberia. Right there. And there are national people called Evany or Evienki or Chukchi or Yakut. All these people groups. It's what the Bible talks about. The nations will hear the gospel. And these people are hearing the gospel at the very moment as we're preaching after I landed on a field that people came. Airplanes don't just go land around on any field. It becomes a spectacle. It becomes a sensation. And so people come. Why are you here? here. We've never even seen an airplane like this, let alone land in this field amongst the horses and cows. And so it happens that way. Last October, Kathy, this is my wife Kathy, and we went to Yakutia, actually right nearby this field. And we went to Yakutia. We landed in a field after chasing cows and horses out of the smoothest place we figured was okay to land. The airplane now has big tires, and we're able to land on the rough places that are not really airports. They're just smoother places in the fields. It's called bush flying. And we're bush pilots, and so we landed in this field. A farmer came and picked us up. He is an animist. He believes in the power of the spirits. He listens to the shamans and the witch doctors. They are not Christian people. They don't have churches. They don't even have missionaries. But now we have this airplane flying into his village, bringing the gospel. So I was there with Kathy a year ago, and we went into this home, and the woman, the wife of this man, the farmer, invited us there, put up a beautiful dinner for us of food that just came from their garden and their barn and field. Horse meat is the common foot meat in this area. And there are horses right there next to that airplane. And they're getting ready to be butchered. And so this is the way their life is. And so after we ate, the wife said to me, Brother Duane, skazhit slova za nas. Can you give us something from the word? Da, konechna. And so we sat down and we began to open up the word, Kostya and I, and we gave it in Russian, and this man was listening very intently. After about 15 minutes, I said, Kto yest vopros? Who has questions? And this man, the husband of the wife of this house that we were in, У меня есть один вопрос. I have one question. I said, да, конечно, давай, поговори. Go ahead, tell us what your question is. Это возможно, чтобы Бог будет прости меня для моя личный грех? Is it possible that God could forgive me of my personal sin? Now, we wouldn't normally be so outspoken or brazen or bold to ask a stranger this question. What was it? It was Acts 1:8. And this God, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It's the power of the Spirit of God to use the Word of God. It's not you. You've only said, yes, here am I, send me. Let me speak for you, Lord. And so that's the kind of thing that we do because we're pilots. We have airplanes. You provide them. Thank you very much. Next picture. Here's a family. They all came from Yakutia. No small thing to get 7 visas to come to the United States with 5 children that don't speak English. They are Yakut. And he, the father, standing next to me, is a South African from a long line, a lineage of missionaries and preachers. And he came, we helped him with student visas, we trained the kids in English. Anybody here think he could help somebody to learn English? Sure you could. Anybody here could help teach people to speak English. So when you sent a team to Alaska to build our house, on your team were teachers, English teachers, and they taught the first Russian how to speak English. That Russian learned just enough English to go to Bible school that fall. Then I put him in the same room as the president of Laterno University. Guess what he did? He recruited that Russian. And that Russian came to Laterno University where I graduated from in 1970-something, 60-something. And so that's how it all comes together. The family are now stuck in South Africa because of COVID. They're not letting them fly home and they're not letting them go into Russia. So we're waiting and praying that they'll be able to arrive back home. Next. No, the other one. There you go. And so, This is one of our plans. Plan of action. God loves you, and Dwayne has a wonderful plan for your life. And a plane for your wife. And so they come. All these young people come to learn to be missionary pilots. Guess what they find? A husband or a wife. Now both of these people are missionaries with Interact. They're both pilots and mechanics, and they're missionaries out on the Yukon in the village of Grayling on the Yukon, serving as village missionaries. Pilots become evangelists. Evangelists become disciplers. Disciplers become pastors. Pastors become pilots. Pilots become evangelists, and so on it goes. We're teaching several missionaries from the bush of Alaska to be pilots so they can reach nearby villages. Derek Zook. How many have ever heard that name? Okay. All right. He's also a missionary that has been here. Today, he's in the coldest part of the United States, called the High Arctic, in the village of Anaktuvik Pass. I talk to him every week and pray for Derek and Aline Zook. But couples like this, several have been married at the ranch. Okay, next. There are the Zooks right there in the far ones, and they're on the runway at Anaktuvik Pass in short sleeves. These are all the native kids. Several of them give their hearts to Christ every summer. They need to be discipled. Their parents need to hear the gospel. And so it is for our missionary pilots. Next. Okay, this is King Ranch. We have recently received the whole title for King Ranch. Praise the Lord. 320 acres there now belong to Kingdom Air Corps. And so we praise the Lord for that. So down in the bottom on the right-hand side this summer, we rebuilt the whole foundation for that big long building, 75 feet long, 27 feet wide. We jacked it up 10 feet and cribbed it up, poured a concrete wall, and set it back down. Now we have all of the space underneath that, and the missionaries that did that are here. Here is Nancy Crane. Her and her husband coordinated the construction team of people just like you that came. So we're looking for some people like you that would come and help us. The big house on the right is where the Cachardos will live. That needs rebuilding, it needs remodeling, just like we did that big long building, 75 foot long building. And so this summer, the Cachardos are going to live there, and they're going to serve with us in administration. Would you please come up? Okay. You've seen them all. Yes, Stacy and Dennis and Emma and Evan and Ian. Right? And we lost Clara and Gracie. No. Yep. And they went to junior church. Anyway, I'm going to ask you some questions about how and why did you take on this crazy idea of going and leaving your job, leaving your house, leaving your church, leaving all of the friends of your kids. What kids would do this? And why would you do this to your kids? Okay, these are some of the tough questions, right? Sure they are. And so how did this happen? Dennis, you're responsible.
That's okay, I'll take that. For me, it was nothing earth-shattering. It was the Holy Spirit used a book of all things to convict me to quit being comfortable, quit worrying about living a comfortable life here in America and get involved with spreading the gospel. And when the Lord calls you, and you know He does, you can't say no.
Can't say no. You feel it. It's there. It's the speaking of the Holy Spirit on your heart. And it goes beyond reason. It goes beyond understanding at times. But it is a call that God gives us. What does a call sound like?
For me, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. Why won't you go? And it was just a question in my mind over and over and over. And there was really no reason why I wouldn't. And that was it. I mean, I was a changed person when I heard that.
There's a lot of excuses. There's a lot of things that come up on why you wouldn't go. And these are questions that come. How many here have ever thought before? Everybody. You think. Yes. You think. And thinking comes through your hearing somebody or something or just in the quiet of the night. And the Holy Spirit works in our minds, bringing reason, spiritual reason, the truth of the Word of God, and He brings those things to us. And then we have to answer. And that's what happened. Stacy, why would you, as a mother, think about leaving all of your dishes, pots and pans, pillows, clothes, and the dressers and all of your stuff. Why would you, how are you going to live without all of your stuff?
Quite easily, I think, less to clean.
Time to clean house.
Yes.
All right.
It'll be good. It was not quite. I read the book too, and God, it was just, sure. I grew up in a small mission-minded church, and it wasn't as big of a leap for me. So I always wanted to live in Alaska.
Let me ask you now, what is the biggest challenge that you have? Things like, how are we going to get to Alaska? Do you have the answer to that?
We don't have many answers. There's a lot of things that we need. There's a lot of resources we need. There's a lot of things that have to be worked out. I think the biggest thing is just not knowing all the answers. That's why we know that God has to be involved, and that if we're going to do it, He's going to show up. And we trust that totally.
6 or 7 people. A dozen suitcases. Books, papers, stuff that you really think you're going to have. Emma, do you have anything you want to take to Alaska? What do you think you need? Parka? Mukluks?
I don't know.
Okay. You're going to wish you had a lot of stuff. Yeah, and you just can't take it all. And so some of the stuff is going to have to be left. So there's a lot of questions for this family. How are we going to get to Alaska? It's 4,625 miles. I just drove it. 5,000 miles in 7 days. Pulling a 40-foot trailer of 20,000 pounds. You can do it. You can do it. And you'll figure it out. This will be your first trip. I've done 30. And I'm still alive. Fingers, toes, nose, nothing froze. And able to do it. You will make it. Now, what would you like for this church to pray about? Now in the next months. You hope to go by June. And so there's things to consider. Where are we going to stay along the way? And so we've talked about the possibility of pulling a camper and kids sleeping on the back seats of the camper and or in a tent. So do you have a tent? 2 tents. Okay, in June that could be used, and then some of you sleep in the camper or whatever, but a lot of things have got to be figured out. The church is helping to do that, and they're giving you ideas and hoping that they can raise funds for these things to be acquired so that you can get. Now, what are you going to do when you get there?
We will do whatever needs to be done, whatever would make your life easier.
Thank you.
But officially, we've been told we're going to be caring for the full-time staff.
Yep.
Taking care of things that they need so that they can create this environment so that pilots can get trained and they can go and do what they need to do.
Yes, and that is crucial for us. So we've gone from 3 missionary families 3 years ago to 13 missionary families. You know, imagine the questions. What about where are we going to live, and what about insurance, and what about cars, and what about travel? And we're 81 miles, we're 45 miles from the nearest store or a gas station. 45 miles. We do not go to Walmart every day or to get building materials. And so There's a lot. And so you can imagine the administrative burden on me. And you are coming to my rescue by sending them. And it's really, for us, very crucial, very critical. And we're going to do it by God's grace and by God's power. So we praise the Lord for you and for your being here, sending me and Carolyn 1967, 53 years ago. And so I praise the Lord. I've seen it. You've seen it. And now we'll do the same thing with them, as you have done with many other missionaries. Thank you very, very much. God bless you.
All right. Thanks, Dwayne, and thanks, Castrato family, for coming. I just want to close this in prayer and dismiss you all. But if you guys would... If you would just be mindful to pray for them, it's quite a bit to try to think that they could actually go and this could happen in June. There's a lot of support. There's a lot of details that need to be laid out. And we're going to go eat some lunch and talk about some of that later today. But if you would pray for them, I know that they would appreciate it and we would appreciate it too. But that's what we're called to do as a church. So let me pray first as we close. Heavenly Father, as we hear some of the stories and see how you have worked in this in the past, and there's a vision for training and creating training of missionary pilots so that your message, the message of everybody needs Christ, everybody needs forgiveness, everybody needs your gift of salvation, so that that would go to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, we ask for your hand to be upon Kingdom AmeriCorps, upon the Cachardos as they're trying to raise the support to go up there. They are, you know this, they are willing to give their lives over to what you want them to do. And so, Lord, we pray that you would fulfill these needs, and that you would use our church, you would use the churches locally, and however you choose to do. But we ask for your kindness upon this. And we pray that you continue to bless Dwayne, to bless the whole staff there, and use them however you would like to do that. So, Father, we thank you for your gift to us. And we pray that you would help us as we go to make the name of Jesus known, even in the farthest places of this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming. If you have any more questions or thoughts, Dwayne's going to be at a back table. Thanks for those of you who are watching online. And you are dismissed. Have a good day.